So I started to think of a cool title for today's podcast, and I really couldn't come up with one, but then it suddenly hit me. I'm going to call today's episode Steaks and Chops. Okay, a little weird, but guess what? I'm going to explain all of that on today's episode of Casting Actors Cast.
This is Casting Actors Cast. Each episode takes you behind the scenes and answers your questions about the business of show. Please don't forget to subscribe and like wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's the host of Casting Actors Cast, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach. Welcome to today's podcast. We're calling it Steaks and Chops, and I'm going to explain everything about what that title actually means in just a couple of minutes. But this is a crazy time we're in now, right? I mean, the coronavirus has gripped the entire world. I'm sort of freaking out. I'm isolating at home. I'm doing a lot of teaching online through various organizations that have brought me on board. And I'm home a lot, and it's really, really weird. It feels strange. You know, I'm having one of those experiences, and I don't know if you've had one of those experiences where I don't even know exactly what day it is sometimes. It's very bizarre, but I'm doing exactly what you're supposed to do. I'm staying in except for, you know, emergency essential reasons like food, and I have to walk the dog. But other than that, I am hunkering down, and I'm in for the long haul. I hope you are too. I hope you're taking care of yourself. And I really appreciate you tuning into the podcast, because this is that moment in the podcast where I want to say thank you for tuning into Casting Actors Cast. We're over 23,000 downloads at this point in time. And I can only express my gratitude for folks that are out there and sending me all kinds of wonderful feedback and all kinds of thank yous and things like that. I just am so grateful to you. And I really appreciate the sense of community that this podcast seems to be having with a lot of actors that are out there, especially now when you're sort of stuck at home. It's very, very difficult to reach out to other actors, and maybe you're finding it difficult to get involved in a class or a group. That social media component happens to be really, really important, but it's also important that you do everything you can to maintain your sanity and take care of yourself. So that's kind of what today's podcast is all about. I will invite you to go to castingactorscast.com, all one word. And that's a website where you can find some downloadable freebies, including a free downloadable PDF book that I wrote called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the Voiceover Workshop for Professional Actors. And if you do that, and the way you do that, by the way, is to fill out that contact form. When you submit the contact form, another box opens up where you can download that free book. It's all about doing voiceover work as well. So join the party. reach out. I would love to hear any comments or feedback. If you have any questions at all, I'm happy to address them by simply going to that contact form. Or you can simply also write me at castingactorscast@gmail.com. So that's it for all of the announcements. Oh, by the way, on the website, I'll try to continue to promote classes that I'm teaching. If they're open to the public, I'll make that available on the website as well. So with my sincere thanks, let's jump into the subject matter at hand, shall we? I'm calling it Steaks and Chops. I know, but the steaks that I'm talking about are when the director says to you, raise the stakes. What does that really mean? I've had directors say that to me before. And when I'm talking about chops, I'm talking about things that you can do to maintain your acting chops, things that you can do right now to be ready for when this coronavirus departs and we start getting a semblance of order back into our lives. And my guess is that there's going to be a huge explosion of requests for actors for the various projects that have been put on hold or that have been just sitting and waiting for the right time to start going back into production again. I know most of our regional theater projects have been put on hold. That doesn't mean that they've you know, stopped doing them. That means that they're waiting for the right time or the go-ahead from the government to say that we're all in a much healthier place and we can resume normalcy. And that being the case, I imagine we're going to get killed. We're going to get hammered with requests for actors from in our casting agency. So that's something to prepare for. That's something to think about. So let's talk a little bit about steaks and chops. Steaks first, raising the stakes. So when you've had a director say to you, you know, I want you to raise the stakes in this scene. You know, it took me a long time to really understand what that means. So let's tear that apart when we talk about raising the stakes. Well, first of all, sometimes when you're asked to raise the stakes, there is a perception that the work, that the character is not as important as it should be. Does that make sense? In other words, making it more important to the character is sometimes the reference being used when they say raise the stakes. So let's give a quick example about that. Let's say you're doing a scene where you're going to ask your significant other for a divorce. Now, you know, I'm just because we're all like at home with our significant others, many of us are anyway, that's not why I'm bringing this example up. I'm really not. But I thought it would be really kind of interesting to say, let's just create a scene in our minds where you have to ask your significant other for a divorce, or you have to tell them that you want a divorce. So when you do the scene and the director says, raise the stakes, what does that mean? Well, I guess it could mean that you have to make a more of an emotional connection to why this is so important. You have to make an emotional connection to why this could be more damaging or more significant in the part that you're playing. And so a couple of ways that you can do that is that you use your emotional filter when you're playing a scene to decide whether or not this has a level of significance that can be noticed, that can be identified. And so one of the things that we do is we ask ourselves, okay, I'm going to ask you for a divorce. This is probably going to cause you some pain. So in the causing of the pain, that can really raise the emotional connection that you're making when you have to raise the stakes. In other words, you have to say to yourself, okay, this is really hard for me to say because I know I'm going to be causing you pain, and because I'm not a person or my character is not someone who would want to intentionally hurt another human being. So you see, those stages of connection create a filter for us to really understand how to raise the stakes, depending upon who we're playing, of course. Because there may be a lack of empathy because you are a despicable character. You don't really care about hurting the other person's feelings. So asking for a divorce might not require you to make this kind of emotional connection that's going to impact the other. So depending upon who you are as a character and depending upon your relationship to the other, raising the stakes can have a lot of different and varied degrees of energy, of intention, and purpose. So when you hear raise the stakes, filter it through those emotional channels first. Am I causing emotional pain? Do I know that your life is going to change significantly by sharing this information with your significant other? Now, here's the other thing about raising the stakes. Especially with sensitive actors or actors who really know how to make those kinds of emotional adjustments by making the scene have more importance to it. First of all, you might be getting the note because there's just not enough underneath energy supporting, or there may be not enough creative subtext to support it, which is why you're getting the note in the first place. But sometimes sensitive and very good actors will have a tendency to go overboard and to really push it. And the problem with that, of course, is that you're just playing the note rather than playing the reality of the scene through the character. I hope that makes sense. So I've always felt that it's easier to pull an actor back, to spray an actor down, by making them go a little too far and then saying, okay, that was really, you raised the stakes. You did a really great job at raising those stakes. But now let's pull that back just a little bit, that there's some trepidation about what you're about to say, that you're filtering it through not just your anger or not just your empathy, but you also want to be careful to say the right thing. So that would also maybe color the scene a little bit. So it's easier to kind of spray somebody down than it is to light a fire under them. So if you get a note from a director or a casting director that is like, okay, you need to raise the stakes, it simply means make it more important. Make it more important for you emotionally. Make it more important for your empathetic response to the significant other. How much are those life-changing situations going to affect you? So that's called raising the stakes. Now, let's talk a little bit about the importance of varying the stakes in that way by trying these various filters when you're asked to raise the stakes, by varying those stakes, making it really, really important and then making it less important, but nevertheless necessary. By doing that variance or make their presence known, you will discover absolutely new and exciting ways to play the part. So next time you're working by yourself, next time you're working on a scene with somebody else, think about varying the stakes to various degrees, varying the stakes to various, this is ridiculous. Vary the ways in which you raise the stakes so that you can find and discover a lot of interesting nuance that their character is going through. I hope that's helpful. Now let's move on. Let's talk about maintaining your chops. Now, you know, with the coronavirus out there, everybody, it's really hard to be self-motivated. I know it. I'm experiencing it myself. We're doing our very best at McCorkle Casting. We're having meetings via Zoom. We're discussing the projects that we hope will be upcoming. We put a shout out on Actors Access for general auditions through agents and managers, and we got just an amazing response. We're just getting inundated because we really want to maintain for future projects. We really want to get a sense of who's out there and be familiar with those who we're not familiar with. So for those folks, we're requesting self-tapes. So that's really kind of cool for us. It's at least we're still in there really trying to check out the new talent, really become more familiar with who's out there for when that time happens, when we're going to get a lot of calls for casts, we'll be ready. But that's still quite hard. That whole self-discipline thing is really, really challenging, I think. But I will say that it's also important for the actor to do what they can to maintain their acting chops during this weird time that we're living in. And so I've got a few ideas that I want to share with you, and we're calling that maintaining your chops, things that you can do to prepare yourself when those auditions start happening more frequently, and when you have an opportunity to make your talent known to others, are you going to be ready? That's the question. So, first of all, I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again, but how are you doing on your monologues? This is a really great time to make discoveries of some new monologues. Some of the audition material that we're getting through our office has some really fantastic new material on it. There are some actors out there, and I haven't gotten their permission to use their names, but I'm so proud of them because what they're doing is they're transcribing various television shows, monologues from TV shows, and their work is just fantastic. And so where are you with your monologues? And when you get someone asking you for contrasting monologues, that doesn't mean funny and then sad. That means, and what you should think about, is just giving me two different people. Does that make sense? So when we do we say we need two contrasting monologues, people go all over the map to give us just this huge, bizarre range that doesn't really feel connected. Just think of it in terms of just being two different characters, two different people. That's what contrast means. So where are you with your monologues? That's a great question to ask. The second question is, are you writing your one-person show? If you're not, think about it. I did this in a previous podcast, but I think everybody should be working on either a historical figure or your own personal story or some futuristic idea of what the future might be through the eyes of a character. So those might be some really cool ideas, but writing your own one-person show is really a great exercise. And I really encourage you to think about who would you want to play? And then start writing an outline. It starts with an outline, and then you can do, if it's a historical figure, for example, then you can do research. You can check out as much information as you want to share. What was interesting about that person's life that is worthy of sharing in a one-person show? You could also make an incredible project out of watching other people do their one-person shows. They're all on the internet. You can certainly watch other actors do their shows. It's really kind of amazing and really, really useful for you maintaining your chops. I also think that there's really great value in reading scenes with a scene partner. Now, I know that's hard, right? You can't really do it, right? But you can. I've just started using Zoom recently, and I recommend it. But there's no reason why you couldn't connect with a scene partner over the internet, do a virtual scene class with somebody else, talk about it. Do the scene a few times. Experience what that feels like, especially using a camera now, because those are the kinds of skill sets that we're going to be asking for. And you will benefit greatly from the camera work that you're doing in those Zoom correspondences with other actors. Does that make sense? So even if, and going back to your monologues just for a second, even if you're going to be working on a monologue, wouldn't it be a cool idea to put that monologue on your cell phone? Take a look at it, evaluate it, go back and listen to the series of two podcasts on how to do self-tape. I think you'll find it of great benefit. And these, again, are all skills that can go towards you maintaining your chops. So I think that you should use your current circumstance, the circumstance of your isolating, the current circumstance of your limited ability to connect in a real way with other people. I think you could really use those circumstances in a couple of ways. One, the circumstance that you're currently in. If you're anything like me, you're feeling a little bit lonely, even though my wife and I were doing really well and we're trying to take care of ourselves, there's still kind of a sad loss kind of component. I'm thinking, wouldn't that be interesting to incorporate into some of your scene work? What does that feel like? Kind of indulge that experience so that you have a good sense memory when the opportunity presents itself in the future. Now, conversely, I think it might be a really cool idea to really use your sense memory and your imagination to create a complete world in terms of scene study that is so contrary to what you are currently experiencing. If you're feeling kind of isolated and alone, take a scene out where you have to address an entire crowd of people, where you have to be socially up and interact with many, many people in the scene. Really put yourself in and use your imagination to the nth degree to give yourself an experience that's sort of out of body. And I don't mean in a weird way. I'm just talking about so that you can really experience what it's like to have something that is not anywhere close to what you're currently experiencing. See, I think stretching that muscle, I think that there's great value in that. I really, really do. So your imagined circumstances can be really as varied as you want, and you can be as creative as you want as you keep on working on all of these things to help maintain your chops. So I also, finally, to wrap this up, I think it's really valuable also to vary your projects. In other words, I wouldn't spend too much time on working on your monologues. I would do a little bit. I would play around with some ideas. I would kind of maybe put it on my cell phone and see how, what it sounds like and see how it feels. But then I would stop. And then I'd go on to another project. Okay, now I'm going to work on my one-person show about a historical figure. And so I'm going to do a little more research about that. And then I'm going to spend a little time doing that. And then I'm going to get up and I'm going to eat something healthy that makes me feel good and will benefit me in a good way. Not too many carbs, not chocolate. That's what my downfalls would be. And then you're going to go back to some other project. Maybe you're going to connect with somebody on Zoom and do a scene. So varying the circumstances that you're in will help you as well. I hope that this has been helpful today. I know it sounded a little weird at the beginning, steaks and chops, but I think you'll understand that these are great concepts to spend a little time on as we have the time to really make ourselves feel more comfortable, more prepared, and ultimately more confident, because it's confidence that's going to make the difference in your career. Thank you so very much for tuning in to Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisen.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support, just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.